This scheme is so dastardly, it even scares me. Listen, when I throw this basketball through the basket, it'll fall and hit the button on the harpoon gun, sending the harpoon with a steel ball tied to it over the highway and stick in the door of that cement trough. The steel ball will swing and open the door, sending an avalanche of quick drying cement down on the highway.
Hi, this is Mike, and I think the Gruesome Twosome is going to win.
This is Lindsay, and I think the Army Surplus Special is going to win.
This is the other Mike, and I think the Buzzwagon is going to win.
And this is Daryl, and I think the Anthill Mob is going to win this one.
Oh, the old AHM. They got to win sometime.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Crime, but what are we talking about? This is Wacky Metrics covering Wacky Races, Episode 9, by Roller Coaster to Ups and Downs. Original air date, October 12th, 1968.
Yay!
And I do want to point out that Ups and Down is spelled U-P-S-A-N space D-O-N-D-O-W-N-S. So it's Ups and Downs.
Ups and's like the, it's like a race, like the Belmont.
It's like, it's like a Downs. Epsom Downs in England.
The Kentucky Downs or something. There's some race where there's Downs is in it.
They're just trying to get out of New Jersey, and we can't blame them.
It's really hard to find on a map. I've been Google Mapsing this place. And
this Ups and Downs?
Yeah, it's really hard.
Did you find, have you been able to find the place where they start the race? Slip over New Jersey?
I thought that was a Chris Christie belly comment. But no.
Chris Christie.
Yeah, so this race takes place in New Jersey, even though the landscape is still the same old Badlands we always see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they figured they didn't want to, like, you know, add in a bunch of industrial parks and, like, toxic sewage places. And
yeah, where are the Pine Barrens?
Even though New Jersey roadways
where
would
are
be
the
really
swampy
interesting.
Beaches.
The Jersey Devil should have shown up. That would have been cool.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. A Devil showed up, but it was in an amusement park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Ah, what are we doing?
So this episode set a new standard for wackiness. I think this was top of the line in terms of wackiness, starting with the Luke and Blubber Bear's car turning out to be being powered by a super strong chipmunk.
Just wants peanuts.
Yeah, that was powered by peanuts.
Endless peanuts. All the peanuts.
It's like
all
peanuts were spinach. Spinach was to Popeye as peanuts were to this chipmunk.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the more you fed him. This doesn't make sense. I don't know why I'm caring so much about, like,
Lindsay just
this
hates,
is what didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Lindsay
not,
hates
not,
cartoon
not the
logic.
Part where Dick Dastardly decided to open an abandoned amusement park and all of the racers just decided to go into the amusement park and go on the rides for no reason.
Yeah. Well, that too. There's a lot that didn't make sense in this episode.
Well, no, they had to go on it because you see the roadway turned and because all the cars in Wacky Races are like trains.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
Well, I could see them ending up on the roller coaster, but why were the Slag Bros on a merry-go-round?
Yeah. Why was Max on that? Why was Max's plane on that that whirly thing, that chair whirly thing?
Yeah. The Slag Bros weren't even in their car anymore. They were just sitting on horsies on the merry-go-round.
Oh, yeah.
It was hilarious.
Well, the Red Baron wanted to see what it was like to actually fly his car.
He was really enjoying it, too.
Yeah, he was living it up on that thing.
This is what competence feels like.
Yeah, he's like, hey, so this is what flying is all about.
He called his commanding officer to exult in his fun.
Yeah. the same general stuff goes down where Dick Dastardly does some dastardly deeds really get him very far.
Yeah, he tries another Wile E. Coyote style landscape painting job to convince everybody that there's an abyss in the middle of the New Jersey desert.
Yeah.
That was a funny gag where he did a really realistic painting.
It was an awesome painting.
And I really think he should probably take his talents and go to like some sidewalk chalk art.
Yeah, because you can see some of those things that are great. But the thing is, they're only great from one angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dick managed to do it so that, well, actually, it didn't fool anybody. So I guess it wasn't that great.
Yeah, he put up a sign and said, like, bridge broken. There wasn't even a bridge there.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of drove over
it
anyway.
Flow.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Yeah.
So Dick's like, fuck it, I'm gonna go drive over it too, and he falls in to the canyon that he drew.
Classic gag.
Yeah, and we hear a snicker from down in the canyon.
I don't know how he got out of it. I mean, isn't that like kind of like falling into a black hole? It's just...
maybe he drew himself. Maybe he painted himself a ramp out.
Yeah, maybe.
Once you end up in the Phantom Zone, who knows what kind of complex geometry lets you get back to our realms?
Yeah, maybe it was just his first life, so he had a second life.
I'm sure
life.
It was like some Cool World shit where he drew a thing and then fell into that drawing, and then there's some weird different like physics to that world that's made of drawings. Probably like some super hot chick.
Dick Dastardly. The original Jack whatever, the guy from Cool World. You know Gabriel like Byrne probably would be a good
Just go off the side of the screen and, you know, your character's kind of stuck. But you can technically move. I mean, nothing's broken, but you shouldn't be there.
I equated it with video games as well. I was like, he probably just died and he had an extra man.
It was like
start on the other side of the cliff so that it's easy.
He had a Lukatu to come in a cloud and pick him up.
No, we didn't even see this story because it took place during a blink of an eye in our time. But he spent the entire 90-minute running time of a different movie looking for the spike on the top of a big building in Toontown or whatever it's called, the cartoon place in Cool World. Anyway, he also sees at a holiday amusement park and says, holiday amusement park, that gives me a despicable idea.
Yeah. Somehow he got ahead of everyone again.
Yeah.
Even though he just fell in a pit.
And this is a constant theme where he's ahead enough of everybody to be stopped to give this like soliloquy to talk about the plan that he has and how like, and they're usually very convoluted.
Yeah.
Well, this one, this later one especially with cement and basketball machine.
Yeah, he has all this time that he has as a lead that he's wasting to try to mess everybody else up, and it never works for him.
Yeah, all he has to do is finish the race.
He just needs to keep staying ahead.
Finish the race. Repeat that mantra to yourself. Yeah. Finish the race.
He's very capable of being ahead of them.
It's time for tomfoolery later when you're on the winner's podium.
The majority of the time, he is ahead of them.
Yep.
Every episode, the majority of the time, he is way, way ahead.
Even when he gets stuck behind in a pit, he's still ahead.
Yeah. He was so far ahead that he was able to open up all the rides in an abandoned amusement park while he was waiting for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes some elbow grease, not just opening some doors.
He probably could have crawled to the finish line at that point.
There was a really good part in the amusement park where Pat Pending was not taking any of Dick Dastardly's guff, and he was like, "Nah, I'm not playing these games with you. I'm not playing your reindeer games." And finally Dick gets
confronted.
Yeah, and Pat Pending has a little armature out in front of his.
Yeah, it's like a little.
Vehicle.
It's got like a stick with a boot on the end.
Yeah, and he boots Dick Dastardly right in the butt, and he kicks him
in the butt.
Right, he kicks him in the butt, and that somehow gets him into a cannon.
Yeah, a human cannon, like
a human
carnival.
Cannon, yeah.
And then the cannon shoots him against a electrical wire, which then rebounds him back into the cannon, which then shoots him again. Mega wacky, cartoons. Mega turbo wacky.
Well, it's speaking of butts, we get to see Peter Perfect in his phallus mobile. For some reason, he's really
that was some gritty stuff.
Rufus Roughcutt. I don't know why.
that was some cringeworthy material there. You see his phallusmobile gradually approaching the buzzsaws as they're slowing down, waiting for him.
That was like the ambiguously gay duo status.
Yeah, because Rufus Roughcutt was like, "Oh, he wants this, and he's gonna get it."
It's like, I'm
he can't
just
handle
wait.
This.
And he slows down for him to, and it just like. There wasn't enough lube or something.
He just got jammed.
Like, it gets jammed up, and
expecting it to turn into the circumcision mobile.
All
it did was kind of crumple up.
Yeah.
You know, just accordioned. You know, like if you fall out of bed in the morning.
Access denied.
Yeah. What happens next? Oh yeah. So
we saw the Antel Mob. Briefly.
Many years of
Dick
physical
Dastardly.
Therapy.
That's what happens next. But
tears. That's what happened next.
Another thing that happened in the amusement park was the gruesome twosome. They go through a haunted house.
Yeah.
They got a taste of their own medicine, like in that ghost restaurant.
Yeah. So
they're with their people.
Yeah, and they're enjoying it, and then there's some like weird. Thing that pops out at them.
Yeah,
it looks
like
the ghost.
It was a dragon devil or something.
Yeah, there was an actual devil in this amusement park.
Oh,
I don't know if Dick Dastardly put it there or he just.
I thought that was. I thought it was just like
conjured it up from hell.
I think it's just it's a haunted house.
Yeah, I thought it was like a haunted house prop.
The actual Satan.
Actually.
It's Beelzebub.
Cameo. Real Satan.
But it was funny because it scared the ghost.
Satan just appeared as a hologram like Tupac.
Yeah.
And there's a point where everybody's racing and. Gruesome Twosome are kind of behind, and they decide to use their dragon wheel ability.
They go into Ouroboros mode.
Yeah.
The dragon grabs his tail and turns into a perpetually rotating circle.
Yeah,
and
much like Mr. Fast. Garrison's thing that he made on South Park. Did you ever see that?
No,
South Park?
Didn't see that one.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
Was,
we'll skip ahead then.
All right.
Was that the episode based on the Ouroboros from Gnostic early Christian mythology?
Yeah, he was just mad that it cost so much to fly, so he made something that was less inconvenient.
No.
But basically, you had to like have this weird pole thing go up your butt to drive it. So even that was less convenient.
All right.
So which Viking Racers mobile do you think Mr. Garrison would prefer to drive the most? The Peter Perfect's penis car?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Hands almost. Down.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hands down, Peter Perfect's pants.
Yeah. So as the Ouroboros dragon circle is rolling past everybody, we get this weird exchange between two members of the Anthill Mob. Okay. One of them says, "It's going to pass us, Clyde." And the other one says, "Not if I go in reverse."
Yeah.
Now think about that. How are you going to stop something from passing you by going into reverse?
You back into it and you change its direction. That's how.
Exactly. And then
wacky physics.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then so they do. They back right up into the Gruesome Twosome's dragon mobile, and then it just totally changes direction because that's how
it's like a pinball. Like it hits a flipper and it just goes the exact opposite way.
And it was getting into first and it got all the way back to last. That I think that leads into Dick Dastardly's last
cement thing,
like crazy Rube Goldberg mousetrap machine.
Yeah. He has a like medicine ball.
Well, he calls it a basketball, but it's pure white.
Yeah, it looks like a medicine ball. He's gonna throw it into a basket, like a basketball.
Yeah, for some reason he's got to throw it into a basket.
Yeah, for some reason, and that
he's gonna show off his game
because he's balling.
He's balling on another level.
Kobe.
Yeah, and so
obviously there's not many hops, or he would just dunk the ball.
And so he's going to get it. He's gonna get nothing but net, and then land on this switch that is going to send some sort of spear into this.
With a cannonball attached to it.
With a cannonball attached that's going to hook itself into a wooden chute that he's assuming.
Like a wooden trough or something.
Yeah,
cement is going to come out in a place where he thinks will stop everybody from running, but apparently he doesn't know where the cement is going to come out. He just likes cement.
Yeah, he's assuming there's cement there, one, because I don't think he set that up.
No.
And so
why would he?
And so he throws this medicine ball and totally doesn't even get anywhere near the net.
Yeah, he's terrible. Yeah. And, he's like Shaq throw style.
He's like a regular Andre Drummond out there.
And he does, and this is actually probably the cutest thing that I've seen on the show.
Exactly. To replace the medicine ball, what does he do?
He balls up Muttley. He grabs him. He's like, "Sorry, Muttley." And then it's telling Muttley, like, just stay into a tight ball. And it's so cute.
Muttley becomes a perfect sphere.
Yeah, he's just a perfect sphere of a dog. Really
Which
cute.
Also happened to Michael Jackson. No, Michael Jordan in Space Jam, by the way. The Monstars turned him into a ball at some point.
I mean, I'm sure once. But
Yeah.
Yeah, and he totally
Michael
gets
Jackson did not get enough surgery to become a perfect sphere.
No.
If only he lived long enough.
If only.
Yeah.
Then we would know.
Well, he could now.
Yeah.
But but anyway,
he made Thriller, man.
But the thing I don't understand, again, this is my wanting this to make any sense, is that he never needed to throw a ball into the net. He could have just pressed the lever.
He could have just walked over there and pushed the button.
That was all it was.
He could have just skipped the harpoon gun, too, and just stood over the cement machine and released cement.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dick doesn't think things through.
He overthinks things, for sure.
Yeah, maybe that's probably what it is.
And so
he has to get clever.
So this actually works, but it doesn't work for him.
No.
Because he doesn't know how trigonometry works, or like how to figure out trajectory, I guess. The cement just falls right on him. He's standing right where the cement falls.
Yeah, he doesn't know how gravity works. More like it.
Then, this wouldn't have been a problem, you know, if he had just pressed the button himself. Like it didn't hit the machine.
He would have been out of the splash zone.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or if he was just like in his car.
What happened to his car?
He could have just drove to the finish line and would have solved all these problems.
I think what he did is just park his car right next to the finish line and then go backwards and start setting stuff.
Maybe. But so he's stuck there.
As he is ensconced in cement, everyone else passes the finish line.
It's the finish line is right there too because the Army Surplus Special comes by, and the sergeant is like, we got it. There's something blocking the the finish line, though, and he gets the orders to just like ram through it and get his foot over the finish line. And I was like, yes, yes, Army Surplus Special is going to do it again. And that stupid fucking private, he misunderstands.
He literally steps on the finish line.
He gets out of the tank and literally puts his foot on the finish line.
Yeah.
And then and then immediately Max just blazes past.
Yeah, this was like a high anxiety part.
Yeah.
Like, because it was like, oh no, they're not going to win. Which dark horse candidate is going to win? Because at this point, it was anybody's game.
It really was. Really? We didn't know.
Yeah.
We had no idea.
Dick Dastardly could have won, 2 hours ago.
He could have.
I was surprised that Army Surplus was that far ahead. I thought it was going to be Anthill Mob.
Well, they were riding that momentum of the last
game. Yeah, because when the Gruesomes were about to pass them, they were the last one to pass.
Yeah.
But that didn't work.
No.
No.
Yeah, everyone was holding
out. Red Max won, and the Flag Bros finished second, even though they had to reconstitute their entire car after they hit it too much with their clubs.
We heard them talk again, apparently.
Yeah. There's something talking in their engine, too.
Yeah, their engine speaks.
Yeah, they do something which was a popular catchphrase about 45 years ago. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry.
And then after them, in third place, is the Arkansas Squirrel Mobile.
Yeah. So, no one got it.
Yeah, we lose again.
Yeah.
Dick did say drat twice this episode. Once was double drat, and Muttley Snickers six times. But to make up for her omnipresence in the previous episode, Penelope Pitstop does not a thing here.
Yeah,
she gets her clothes eaten up by the Baron's propellers, but that's not really her doing it.
Wait, I missed the nudity?
No.
She was just doing laundry and drying her clothes.
And she had a clothesline out. Yeah.
And apparently her clothes can shred propellers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can stop a plane.
Yeah.
Well, that plane.
But they didn't slow him down because he still won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh wait, Max. I also got two instances of animal abuse. I guess.
No.
Only two. You missed the giant ape episode. There were quite a few in there.
Yes. Oh damn.
Senseless animal abuse.
Wait, so what were you referring to?
Oh, just the chipmunk. I mean, you can't feed. Go outside and try to feed a chipmunk an endless bag of peanuts.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
She's gonna take a nap after like two or three of them.
He didn't even like deshell them either. It was just full on.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Didn't even show him eating them. It just showed him pouring them over top of them.
Yeah,
he just made it rain on the chipmunks.
Yeah, he's just making it rain.
They just showed him pumping his fists like Rocky.
Yeah.
Poor chipmunk.
Yeah. That chipmunk seemed it was abused. It was definitely taken advantage of.
Alvin, Simon, and Theodore are going to write a song about it.
Yep. It's going to be one of their ballads.
Slow jam.